Funding for this podcast comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink software, accelerating the pace of engineering and science. Learn more at MathWorks.com.
This is Radio Boston. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty.
And I'm Anthony Brooks. Since 1996, the pop group Fountains of Wayne has been producing witty and tightly crafted pop songs about life, love, and human foibles and failure.
They opened up a bar called Living Hell. Right from the start, it didn't go too well. They didn't have the vibe.
This is Richie and Ruben, a new song from Fountains of Wayne, and it's about a couple of on-the-make entrepreneurs who aren't nearly as smart as they think. Fountains of Wayne's new CD is called Sky Full of Holes. The band will be performing tonight and tomorrow here in Boston at the Brighton Music Hall.
And for the rest of this hour, the bands Chris Collingwood and Adam Schlesinger will be here in our studio performing live and talking about their music. If you'd like to join the conversation with the heart and soul of Fountains of Wayne, give us a call, 800-423-8255. That's 1-800-423-TALK. And that's the song Richie and Ruben off the new CD called Sky Full of Holes from Fountains of Wayne. Rock critic Ken Tucker said on Fresh Air recently that Fountains of Wayne is without doubt the finest contemporary pop rock band in America. High praise indeed. And joining us now are longtime musical collaborators Chris Collingwood and Adam Schlesinger from Fountains of Wayne. Welcome to Radio Boston. Great to have both of you in here.
Thank you. Nice to be here.
What a privilege. So I know you're not from Massachusetts. You're from a little south of here, but you have a Massachusetts connection. And I understand you guys started playing together way back when at Williams College, right?
That's true. I actually am from Massachusetts.
You are?
I live in Northampton.
Oh, yeah. Fantastic. Great. So tell us about that that collaboration in those college days. How did that work out? What was that like there?
Well, Williams is a pretty small school, and we met pretty quickly because there just weren't a lot of musicians to begin with. The talent pool was kind of small. So, but we started playing music together, I think, as sophomores, in one way or another, we've been playing ever since then together.
So more than 20 years or so.
I'm embarrassed to say, but yes.
Long time. How's that collaboration changed over the years?
I think that we both kind of developed a style together and separately. You know, we influenced each other a lot at the beginning, and then along the way, I think we both kind of found our own thing, and then we both imitated the other guy's thing a little bit, and so it's just been like that.
There's such a distinct sound to your songs and group, and I wanted to ask you about your biggest influences. When I hear your stuff, I think you reflect a legacy of really sort of wonderful and clever songwriters, and I just throw some names out. The Beatles, Randy Newman, even Elvis Costello. The names like that?
Yes.
Yeah?
Yes. All of those, definitely.
All of those.
Yeah. People
yeah,
we
sure.
like.
Good.
Yes.
Who else?
There's so many examples. I mean,
Squeeze. We did a tour with Squeeze for a while. That's definitely. Did you mention Squeeze already?
I didn't mention Squeeze. No.
Neil Finn, who's from Crowded House and Split Ends, big fans of his. We both really also listen to a lot of other sort of classic '60s stuff, like the Beach Boys and the Zombies and
the Hollies.
Yeah. That whole era.
What I love about your songs is they're so well rendered. They tell real stories about such real sounding people. And that song we were just listening to, Richie and Ruben, for example, two guys who open a bar called Living Hell. And then the lyric goes, right from the start, it didn't go too well. They got robbed blind by half the wait staff, 6 short weeks, and they were forced to sell.
Not the end, but sounds like the end.
Do you feel you know these people that you sing about?
I mean, a lot of times, even if they're fictional characters, they're which they are in this case.
Sure.
They're sort of composites of different people that I've known. There's been some cases where we actually literally write about people we know. Like on the first record, Chris wrote a song as a present for a friend of his named Joe Ray, and the song is called Joe Ray. So he even got his first and last name in the song. But
listeners, we're talking to Chris Collingwood and Adam Schlesinger from the band Fountains of Wayne. They're in here live in the studio. They're going to play for us. If you've got some questions for them or you just want to share your stories about Fountains of Wayne, give us a call, 800-423-8255. That's 800-423-TALK. And guys, what are you going to play for us?
This is a new song, and it's called A Road Song.
Great.
We're still in Wisconsin, as far as I know. Today was Green Bay and tomorrow Chicago. Wish I was lying, but there isn't much to report. My phone is dying, so I've got to keep it short. I just wanted to say, hey, I've been writing you a road song. It's a cliche, but hey, that doesn't make it so wrong. And in between the stops at the Cracker Barrel and 40 movies with Will Ferrell, I need some way to occupy my time. So I'm writing you a road song. I sure hope you don't mind. Ooh, 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 oh. I bought you a light blue T-shirt last night from some band I couldn't stand, but their logo's alright. Some kid threw a bottle on stage, he had an arm like a pro. I know it's getting late, I guess I should let you go. But did I happen to say, hey, I've been writing you a road song, don't run away. Cause hey, I promise it won't be too long. And though it's not what you'd call necessary, and I know that I'm no Steve Perry, and even if you roll your eyes and groan, I'm still writing you a road song that you can call your own. Ooh, 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 uh-huh.
Really nice.
Thank you.
That's a road song sung by Chris Collingwood, Adam Schlesinger of the band Fountains of Wayne. Thank you guys so much for being in here. You're playing tonight at the Brighton Music Hall and tomorrow. Do you enjoy touring?
We love playing, that's for sure.
Yeah.
Being in the car is not so fun.
Sure. Yeah, I was reading a little bit a previous interview that you did a while ago about touring, and you were talking about your favorite cities to play in. You mentioned the big cities as being the best: L.A., New York, Chicago. I didn't know what you thought about Boston, though. I felt sort of left out.
Boston's always been great for us, actually.
Yeah.
I mean, it's kind of a second home for the band. We've done a lot of recording here.
We used to live here, both of us.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah. We lived in Somerville right when we got out of college, and
it's my town.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
We lived in your attic. You didn't even know.
But that's whose guitar that is.
Yeah,
right. Okay. That song you just sang, A Road Song, it's got such a sweet sort of melancholy sound of what it's like to be stuck on the road. Anyone who's done work that's been on the road, that's required them to be on the road, I think can identify with it. And I love that line where you say, I bought you a light blue T-shirt last night from some band I couldn't stand, but their logo's all right.
That happens a lot. Some bands have cool logos.
I've been there. I've bought those T-shirts. So we've got a few callers on the line, and listeners, you can join the conversation with Chris Collingwood and Adam Schlesinger. Let's go to Elizabeth, who's calling from Billerica. Hi, Elizabeth.
Uh-oh.
Hi, how are you?
I'm very well.
Hello.
They look really nervous. They look really nervous, Elizabeth. Be nice to them.
Okay, well, I'm really nervous, too, so guys, be nice to me.
Okay.
Anyway, I wish I had something really pertinent to say, but I couldn't believe I heard Fountains of Wayne on NPR. I've been a huge fan for more than 10 years, and I just wanted to thank them for their music. I've been enjoying it for basically as long as I can remember.
Thank you, Elizabeth.
Thank you. Thanks very much.
You are a nice person.
Thanks, Elizabeth, for the call. We appreciate it. And let's take another call. Gene is calling from Mattapan. Hi, Gene. You're on the air.
Hi there. Thank you for having me on. I told the lady who answered the phone that I don't have any good Fountains of Wayne stories because I don't think I've ever heard them before.
Oh,
But they've got a new fan here.
Oh, great.
I'm mostly a folkie. I grew up on, well, Paul Simon and Don McLean, and I like intelligent story songs, and, you know, I'm going to run out and buy their album.
Well, that's nice. This whole thing's working, then. This whole promotional activity is working.
It's funny how that works out.
At least for one person, it worked. Yeah.
They're very happy, Gene. This whole idea of they come and play on the radio, and then someone like you runs out and buys a CD. That's sort of the way it's supposed to work.
Should have thought of this a long time ago.
Thanks, Gene.
Well, they'll have to watch out, because that's how I discover music, and there are quite a few Boston singer-songwriters who will tell you that, you know, I go to their concerts at least once a month and two or three shows a week.
Hey, Gene, also you should check out a guy named Mike Viola, who's from Boston, who's another great singer-songwriter that you would like a lot, and a close friend of ours.
Thank you. And do you guys know the Canadian band The Clumsy Lovers?
I know the name.
Because that's who you're reminding me of, your sound, and I think you'd like them.
Thanks.
Mike Viola sang That Thing You Do that you wrote, actually.
He did,
right?
And we've both played with him in various configurations for years, and he's a talented Boston guy who now lives in L.A. and does a lot of movie and film TV stuff.
And most of your fans would know this, if not many of our listeners. That Thing You Do, of course, was a Tom Hanks movie, and that great sort of poppy tune, That Thing You Do, that got played again and again and again and again. But it was sort of put you guys on the map in an interesting way, or at least in that time, didn't it?
Yeah, it was weird. It came out the exact same week as our first album, so there's a lot of confusion about that. But it wasn't actually our band doing that song. It was sung by Mike Viola.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm curious about your process. Does the music come first, then the words, or the other way around?
You know, in my case, it's never either or. Mm-hmm. Kind of the best ideas kind of seem to come out as a chunk, and then it's sort of like inspiration, perspiration, you know, that cliche.
Sure.
So kind of like, you know, the initial idea comes out at once, and then there's a lot of homework involved after that.
What about for you, Adam?
I think for me, I usually, for whatever reason, seem to start with lyrics. Maybe not an entire lyric, but I need some. I mean, music comes much easier to me than lyrics do, and so if I have a line that I like, I usually have confidence that ultimately I'll figure out how to set it musically, and sometimes I try different approaches, but I like having an initial lyrical idea to build from.
And do you guys, I mean, again, this band has such a terrific sound that is of the band as opposed to Chris's sound and Adam's sound. I'm curious how you bring them together. Do you write together and sort of go line to line together? And then
we actually have almost never done that. We did it a couple of times in the early days, but we write completely separately. I mean, we both write music and lyrics, but we don't really work. We don't live in the same state anymore. I live in New York. He lives in Massachusetts. And but I think there's always been a conscious effort to put the band sound ahead of anything else. So, I mean, that's one of the reasons that Chris sings all the songs, my songs too. And you know, it also comes from Brian Young and Jody Porter, the other two guys in the band. They have very distinct playing styles. And we always felt like the band should have an identity more than anything else.
And, you know, he was also talking earlier about how we've influenced each other since we've known each other for 20 years. And it used to be the case that people could tell which songs were mine and which were his. And I think lately that's not really true anymore. Our song, people can't really figure out who wrote the song.
And that's something you like it that way, because you want.
I mean, we'll tell them if they ask.
Yeah.
For a small fee.
Well, I'm just curious. Okay, I was about to go down that road of questioning, but I think I won't, because there's nothing in my wallet. Are you going to play us another song? What are you going to play us?
A song called "Cemetery Guns," which is about a military funeral.
And on the record, it has a marching snare, but since we don't have that here, I'm gonna pretend to do that on my guitar top here with my fingers.
I'm so glad you're doing this song. This is a hauntingly beautiful song, I think. So, great. Cemetery Guns, Fountains of Wayne, here on Radio Boston. Take it away.
Elizabeth, that thundercloud is creeping up the Empire Hill. There's shadows on the overpass and puddles in the old dirt path. Peoria lay silent still in the belly of the overgrown. All quiet on the open plain, footprints to the family plot. Sorrow sleep in a broken heap. Cemetery guns go bang, 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 shooting all the sky for holes. 21 times in a row for the blue war widow in the gray raincoat on the green grass down below. Fathers came and settled where the ground was flat. Drew water from the Indian wells, cut timber from the rolling fells. Granddaddy-o led hearth and home for oil in the company gears. No rest for the errant ones, Godspeed their reckless sons. Whoevermore play there for father's hands on the foreign sands. Cemetery guns go bang, 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 shooting all the sky for holes. 21 times in a row for the blue war widow in the gray raincoat on the green grass down below. Cemetery guns go bang, 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 shooting all the sky for holes. 21 times in a row for the blue war widow in the gray raincoat on the green grass down below.
Such a pretty song. Thank you so much. That's Chris Collingwood and Adam Schlesinger of Fountains of Wayne singing Cemetery Guns off their new CD, City, A Sky Full of Holes. So pretty. Can you talk a little bit about that, Adam, or Chris, about that song? It's haunting, it's beautiful, it's sad, and there's sort of a it reflects a mood of sadness that I think runs through a lot of the songs on this particular CD.
You know, it's funny, that's for all the lighthearted kind of business in our band and, yeah. and the songs with a sense of humor. I'm a pretty dour guy in general. I spend a lot of time reading books about death. And
he's actually weeping right now.
I'm weeping.
I see this on the radio.
I think that, you know, it's okay to sort of step outside your comfort zone and write about things that you're thinking about that aren't typically associated with the band. So.
And Adam, what can you tell us about that song?
Well, it's a song that Chris wrote, obviously, and when he brought it in, I immediately really loved it, even though it was very different from stuff we've done before. And it was actually one of the earlier ones that we put together for this record, and especially when we put the band in and with did an arrangement of it, it really came to life right away. And I just think it's a unique and great song.
It's beautiful. And the production that you have on the CD with the military snare drums, it really adds something to it. It's quite something. I'm interested in sort of the overarching idea that informs and influences Sky Full of Holes, the new CD. Is there an idea that sort of knits these songs together? Do you think of a CD that way?
I mean, musically, we definitely do. And on a musical front, we talked before we started this record, of trying to make it a little more organic sounding and a little bit more open sounding than some of our other records. So there's definitely more of an emphasis on acoustic guitar and piano and harmony vocals, as opposed to, you know, when we started out, we were almost like categorized as like the punk pop or something like
right.
It was very more aggressive, and you know, so I mean, I think there's still a lot of energy on this record, but we found it maybe in different ways, and but lyrically we don't really plan out a theme for a record. Sometimes it happens by accident.
Yeah, there's a lot of people who decide that a record is about something, and of course they do, because it's a collection of 13 songs.
Sure.
And the human tendency is to ascribe some sort of grand overarching theme to it.
Like Paradise Theater by Styx, for example.
Usually when those things work out, for better or for worse, it's an afterthought, the themes that people notice.
But I do think that, you know, when you're in a writing mode, there's certain things that are just kind of running through your brain a lot, and they tend to work themselves into several songs at once.
Well, one of the reasons I ask it is just because of the way the music industry is changing. I mean, to me, this CD feels like such a cohesive whole, like any, like many good CDs do. But, you know, it's rarer and rarer that people are buying these CDs sort of as a whole, you know, with the ability to sort of pick tunes on iTunes or whatever it is.
Yeah.
Do you think about that, or are you sort of?
We do. Yeah.
Well,
I mean,
we
all grew up in an era where the album was the thing. And
right.
Even if that's not the case for a lot of people now, I don't think we can get out of that mindset so easily.
Yeah, it really is a shame about iPod Shuffle, you know, and the fact that people don't get in the rhythm of a full album anymore. It's really a tragedy.
Well, guys, our time is running low. Let me just ask one question before we sort of play out on something. What are you working on next? What's the next step for both of you and for Fountains of Wayne?
I think we're going to be touring for the foreseeable future. Heading the West Coast in October and Europe in November, and then, I don't know, we'll see after that.
Well, thank you so much for coming in. Let's go out on a song called Acela, and this song has a Massachusetts reference. This is a song about a bored guy riding to Boston on the Acela, realizing his girlfriend isn't meeting him on the train after all. Chris Collingwood, Adam Schlesinger from the band Fountains of Wayne. They're playing tonight at the Brighton Music Hall and tomorrow. Thank you both so much for coming in. What a pleasure.
Thank you, guys.
Thanks.
Well, welcome to the weekend, everybody. But next week on Radio Boston, we'll look at a new blood test that can determine the sex of a fetus earlier and cheaper than ever before, as early as 7 weeks into the pregnancy. Also, celebrated playwright Susan Laurie Parks reimagines Porgy and Bess at the ART. That's all next week on Radio Boston.
Radio Boston is a production of WBUR with regular contributions from The Angle at Boston.com. I'm Anthony Brooks.
And I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. Have a wonderful weekend and join us again on Monday for more Radio Boston.